Hi there, and welcome to the podcast, Lifting the Veil. I'm your host, Noelle Cellini. In this episode, I'm joined by my friend Ryan. And as you'll hear me introduce him, I say that he is, yes, one of my most spiritual awakened friends, but I would say I describe it as also one of my most embodied friends. Now, I decided to have him as a guest on my podcast because this helped lend some light to why we were seeing some spiritual teachers and gurus and leaders and speakers in the last couple of years that were either promoting certain things or not talking about certain things or downplaying certain things that kind of made my head turn and say, wait, what? What's going on here? None of this doesn't resonate. This doesn't make sense. And again, he just so beautifully explains this because you may be, you know, bumping up against souls and running into some beautiful souls who are also, yes, clearly on their spiritual journey and going through an awakening. But as I say in the podcast, and as Ryan and I talk about, it's kind of like the jerk who does green juices and breath work. You know, just because they're into it doesn't mean that they've actually embodied it. They're still kind of mean. They're still kind of a jerk. As you'll hear Ryan describe, they haven't done the cleanup, wake up, grow up, and show up. Now, if you will lend Ryan some grace as the recording starts, I don't think that he has been on a podcast before, so it takes him a little bit of time just to kind of, you'll hear it, you'll feel it as things start to flow. But again, he describes it so beautifully, gives great examples, and definitely in a much better way than I could have. So thank you for tuning in. I hope you will find it helpful and inspiring, and enjoy. So today I have with me my friend Ryan. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I have you as a guest on my podcast today because, you know, we all have, specifically me, I have all my friends I would say are very, you know, aware, spiritually mindful, doing the inner work. But I have you with me here today because, you know, we all have different friends who fill, so to speak, I don't want to say different voids, but are better at other things than other items. But I have you here because you are probably my most, and I think you know this, probably my most spiritually embodied, spiritually awake friend. So with you, I ask the questions where I don't know who else to ask. You and Robert probably were so deep. I remember I asked you one time about med beds. Mm-hmm. And again, right away, I knew I couldn't ask some other friends about it. They wouldn't really know much about it. And immediately, you had an answer for me. And one of the things I asked you about, and this is our podcast episode today, is I asked you, you know, we saw a lot of this, all of us, in 2020, 2021, whether you were already on your spiritual journey or just starting it, I think we all saw people who were spiritual leaders, teachers. I don't really like the word teacher. I don't really even like the word guru, but let's put it this way. People who were, remember, we're all walking each other home. So they're just a little bit further along on their journey. So maybe they have obviously way more followers than somebody like myself or you. But they, in 2020, we saw them talk about things or downplay things or promote things where some of us, especially me, with some people, I was like, wait, what? How do you not see that? Oh my gosh, is this person a fake or a phony? That didn't go through my mind, but I had my Jade Egg teacher, and I watched her. I saw her online talk about things with the things going on with the children and underground and pizza and all that stuff. She doesn't sense and pick up on any of that. She thinks that that's all made up by XYZ and totally fake and doesn't exist. And I was like, what? So, and then some other people, I'm not going to say who we talked about, specifically who we both kind of not looked up to, but, and I never followed any of these people, but I would see people call them out in a way. And I asked you why, and your answer was what?
The Ken Wilber's integral theory model, which is clean up, wake up, grow up, and show up.
Clean up,
Clean
wake up.
up, wake up, grow up, and show up.
Okay.
The different lines of human development. And each line of human development speaks to a specific area of consciousness, if you will.
And they're in a specific order because I wrote them down when you told me this. I didn't have my, we usually just happen to randomly meet in the park. Now, of course, we plan to meet, and our conversations are just so nurturing and sacred and beautiful and just, so nourishing is the word I want to use. But I wrote them down in the wrong order. So clean up, wake up, grow up, and show up. And so now continue.
Correct, yeah. And each of us are developing in these different domains at different paces in our soul journey. And they're not equally developed in every individual.
So this is why somebody like this spiritual leader or speaker or whatever can be talking about something which we talked about is truth. They are speaking and sharing and radiating truth. But some of the other stuff they're either talking about or promoting or not talking about or talking about is fallacy because they haven't done all four of these. The cleanup, wake up, grow up, and show up.
Correct. And I'll explain each one. I
Yeah.
think that will add color and insight to this particular conversation and this particular dialogue or topic, if you will, right? So, cleanup is the one that we're most familiar with. It involves going to a therapist and or individually recognizing ancestral patterns that are holding us back,
You know,
karmic
I
patterns,
call them veils, so yes.
veils,
Limiting
exactly,
beliefs, yes.
limiting
Your own
beliefs.
crap, your own bullshit.
And there's a lot of nuance here. There's childhood development patterns that we pick up if we have parents that are dysfunctional. There's ancestral patterns that carry on through bloodlines. There's karmic patterns that pass on from one lifetime to another that you're bringing in unresolved. There's also physiological patterns that apply just to the physical body, the earth body, if you will. And so cleanup really involves, you can take cleanup alone, you can kind of break it into these sub areas, and you can tackle each one. And
Which I want to make a note about numerology, because I do numerology readings, and one of the ways to figure out kind of what karma you have is if you have fours and sevens in your
Oh,
numerology.
wow. Okay.
So this is why it's critical, not maybe not critical, but pivotal or very, very important when you look at numerology, and if you get married and you take on somebody's name or you go by a nickname, you're changing, obviously, your vibration. You're changing. Maybe you, all of a sudden you have fours by going by Jen instead of Jennifer. You know, that's actually not a good example because those same letters exist. You know, but say, you go by a nickname that has nothing to do with your. There's letters in there that are different. So if you have fours and sevens, anywhere numerology is based on your name, full, middle, and last. Surname, excuse me, and then birthday as well. Any fours and sevens will show where you have karma.
Interesting.
So mine, I don't have any fours and any sevens. Doesn't mean I don't have stuff. I just have a little bit lighter of a path. Again, like I said to you, don't tell me that because I'll punch you in the face if you say, "Oh my gosh, your path is so lighter," because Oh, the goddess knows I have struggled a lot. But when you broke down the cleanup into those four, I will say one of the ways to figure out your karma will be fours and sevens.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, really nice. Yeah, and so cleanup is one stage of human development. It's applicable to the humanness, the personality, the ego construct, part mm-hmm. of our multidimensional being. It's not all of us, but it applies to our humanity specifically. That's a domain of consciousness, if you will. That's crystallized, individuated consciousness to which cleanup applies to.
Okay.
Waking up is probably the stage that I feel most passionate to talk about. Waking up is a different domain of consciousness altogether. It's a shift. It's a shift of identity where the being recognizes that they are no longer just their personality. They're no longer just their identity. They are also spirit. They are also soul. They are greater or more than just their physical body, their personality, mm-hmm. their ego construct.
Mm-hmm.
Within waking up, there are a lot of sub areas, which we won't have time to go into.
Mm-hmm.
But waking up also has different levels to waking up. There is waking up through the mind, which is an experience of divinity as a pure nothingness. In Hinduism, it will be called as pure Shiva. In Buddhism, it would be referred to as emptiness. It's the experience of divinity as a pure nothingness, without form, without attribute,
mm-hmm.
without any type of gender, without any perceivable quality. And this can be quite jarring for people who are very attached to their personality. They can, in this type of an awakening, can feel quite annihilated, so as to speak, especially if it's spontaneous. And that is another podcast altogether. There's mm-hmm. spontaneous awakenings through the mind. There's gradual awakenings that can happen through mantra meditation, or it can happen through different types of sadhanas or spiritual practices. Then there's an awakening through the heart, which is the experience of divinity as everything, a unity consciousness,
mm-hmm.
A oneness with everything. It's usually a lot more energetic. It's more animated. It feels very, very connected, and it feels like one continuum. So someone who has an awakening to the heart will feel like they are one with everything.
Mm-hmm.
They will be able to experience simultaneously the movements of the plants, the animals, as if it is part of their system. The plants, the animals, nature will experience the movements that happen within them. This is also a type of awakening that usually happens with people who practice a lot of bhakti yoga, devotional yoga, who are drawn to that type of yoga. They have an awakening to the heart. And typically, kundalini awakenings also actually tend to be more energetic and through the heart. And it's a lot more animated and flamboyant. And even within the heart awakening, there are sub-layers, which we won't be able to get into, but even within the heart, some have a more energetic style of awakening. Some will have a more graceful style of awakening. But broadly speaking, an awakening to the heart would be an experience of divinity mm-hmm. as everything. An awakening through the mind is an experience of divinity as nothing. An experience of both is nothing and everything simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
There is one more type of an awakening which is rarely seen except in very, very ascended masters, and usually happens much later on, although in some masters it happens first. And that's an awakening through the stomach, through the gut.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an experience of divinity as pure earth form, pure, like a type of somethingness, if you will. you know? And you can think of it as, what is divinity? You can think of it as, God is nothing through the mind. God is everything through the heart, and God is something through the gut. So God is nothing, everything, something, all simultaneously, and none of them at the same time. And even that is a limitation on our experience of divinity.
Well, and to interject, when you were talking about the heart and you were talking about it, you know, feeling this oneness and connection to the animals and the plants, I'm sure you saw I started to get kind of tears in my eyes, because my friends know, even now when I talk about my trees, I start to get emotional because I feel such a connection to my trees, and they just provide me with such strength and just wisdom and guidance. And so, and that would be something that has been recent, and I've gone through some things in the last couple of years, specifically 2022 was probably, I would say, my biggest year of growth. Not when my awakening happened, so the mind one would have been in 2015, but I got really close, obviously, with nature and the trees and stuff like that in 2022, along with some other things that happened. So I wanted to bring that up, because then when you're sitting here and you're saying, you bring your hands out, I don't know if you realized that it's nothing, and you brought your hands out, like from your ears outward, they look like branches, and then you brought them out, your arms out, or sorry, you brought your arms out through kind of like your ears, which look like branches, and then you brought your arms out through your heart, which you said was the heart awakening, and then you said, or that there's something, and then you held your hands in front of your abdomen. I'm sorry, but that looks like a tree.
It is. How beautiful.
I mean, you know, and it's been said that humans are walking trees. It's why our thumbs are shaped like the ring of a tree, and you know, the trees talk to each other. They have this whole communication system. They supply nutrients to trees that have been cut down or have been damaged or injured somehow. I mean, I have pictures on my Instagram of one tree that was cut down, and it doesn't have like the bottom half, but then like the second two-thirds of the tree are being held up, literally, like, looks like it's branches of a tree, but glued onto this tree, and so it doesn't have roots, but it's sitting there. The top two-thirds of the tree are attached to this other tree, and it's holding it up. So humans are walking trees. We are nature in human form. So I just had to bring that up for...
Yeah, that's beautiful. We are. We are connected more so than we believe ourselves to be.
We're connected to the trees that are here, just like the other humans.
Absolutely.
We're all connected, whether
absolutely
you have realized it or re-remembered it or not.
Absolutely. And so this essentially is what waking up is, right? And broadly speaking, it's a shift in identity from human to the divine, where a being recognizes that they're not just a human being, they're also divinity. And that experience of divinity is forever deepening through the mind, through the heart, through the body, or through the gut. You experience different facets of divinity, and even within each particular faculty, there are further sub areas which we won't be able to get into, right? Which there's experience of divinity as nothingness through the mind, which is experienced as pure consciousness. And then from there, there is also something beyond consciousness, which the Buddhists typically call as pure, pure emptiness, a layer that is neither existing nor not existing. On the level of the heart, there is an awakening where there is an experience of oneness with everything. However, even here, there are different flavors. Some experience everything as a oneness with everything, but that oneness with everything in the initial layers may just feel like a connectedness with everything. A deepening in that may start to show themselves as different strata of consciousnesses, colors, and things like that. Why do I speak to this at length? is because a lot of the teachers that you speak about, they may have an awakening, perhaps say through the mind or through the heart even, right? Where they experience a connectedness with everything. But within this particular awakening through the heart, there are opportunities to further deepen such where this unity consciousness can activate certain types of, in Hinduism they call them siddhis, which are things like clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, these different psychic abilities.
Just like the tellies, telekinesis, teleportation.
Correct. Yes. It is a year where the indigenous communities, for example, are able to work with astrology, numerology. Mm-hmm. This is where this type of unity consciousness, which is a deeper type of a stage to activate those gifts, this is where knowledge of things like world events and the war on consciousness starts to show itself. This is where awakening to that level of insight shows itself. But not everybody who has a heart awakening is privy to this, meaning that you can have a heart awakening where you feel an interconnectedness with everything, but you may not wake up more deeply to the realization that within this everything are these different shadow elements at play. So that, but what I'm saying is there's a deepening into this heart awakening, and waking up through the heart is only like the first step. Then from there you can deepen progressively over time, such where you will start having access to deeper truths about reality. Mm-hmm. So not every spiritual teacher who has had an awakening may have progressed deep enough to be able to intuit or pick up on those type of truths that mm-hmm. speak to global geopolitical events and things of that nature. However, paradoxically, there are beings that have opened up the gifts of the spirit or these different types of siddhis through spiritual work, but have not awakened to the truth of who they are also. That is why not every psychic or astrologer necessarily recognizes their divinity deeply enough. They may know they're a soul or a spirit, but that doesn't mean their perception of reality is experiencing both simultaneously. So I'm speaking to all these nuances because it sheds light on why do you have teachers that are spiritual but are ignorant to the geopolitics in the world? Why do you have different gurus that have these great shaktis and siddhis and able to give darshan and transmission and then have all these sexual distortions, right? It's because you have these uneven developments across these different areas. So you can have a spiritual teacher that has had an awakening, let's say through the heart or through the mind.
They've cleaned up, they've had an awakening, correct?
Actually, no. Typically, if you have a guru that engages in a lot of nefarious sexual activity, it's very likely that they may have had an awakening, which is the recognition that they are divine and human, but they may have neglected their humanness, therefore they have not done cleanup work. So if their humanness, say for example, has things like sexual addiction or promiscuity, just because they have woken up to the truth of their true nature, which is I am divine and human, doesn't mean that the humanness automatically is healed. That requires cleanup. And mm-hmm. so you can be awakened and you can still be a douche, for lack of a better word.
Oh, 100%. And I know we're going to get to the grow up and show up. This is what I have mm-hmm. said before, but in not so eloquent terms. We all know that person who does yoga or breath work or drink green juices, and they're still a jerk.
Yes.
I just simply call it embodiment. You know, you may know, okay, well, I need to, I don't know, practice more gratitude or more embodiment of joy. But we all know that jerk who does yoga and exactly, is still a douche. And so it doesn't, just because you do XYZ or drive a, I don't know, a hybrid car doesn't make you, you know, spiritually awake, or just because you drink green juices or do breath work. I found this, again, I didn't know it so eloquently as you and so detailed, but I found this a lot in 2020, specifically, no surprise. But I found a lot of people who know of all the rabbit holes and all the occult symbols and sigils and meanings, and again, like I said, all the rabbit holes and connect all the dots and love all that stuff. But again, they're such jerks. They were like yelling at people and shaking their finger at people and all this stuff. I'm like, well, wait a second here. You know, I don't, your job is not to wake anybody up. Your job is to do it yourself. And then people, even whether you're posting about it or not, or doing podcasts about it or not, or doing blog posts about it or not, energetically, you're changing the moral, you know, fabric and fiber, and you're raising the consciousness because it's all one. We're all here together. We're all on the same team. So even if you're not posting about it, you're elevating it. You're doing what you came here to do, which was get back to source. So I saw this, and I see this a lot, and they're very agitated and angry and, like I said, pointing fingers, and like I said, they know every rabbit hole and all this, but I'm like, but they're not pleasant to be around or talk to. And, you know, I've had a experience with that recently. It's like, wait a second here. Where's the embodiment of, I'm just going to quite simply say, like, the niceness, you know, where you get to a point where you're not so triggered and you're not so, there's some grace and some gratitude and some real, I don't know if it's the grow up or the show up or just some real evolution here. I just keep saying it's real embodiment. You can't just know of the rabbit holes. You can't just know of the corruption. You can't just know of the deceit and how far it goes and who owns what and who controls this and the puppet strings. You got to do the inner work. So I know you're going to get to the remaining two, the grow up and show up, but I want to go back really quickly because you talked about kind of the, you didn't say ancestors, you might have said indigenous people, I call them First Nations, whatever, but talking about kind of that they were, and correct me if I'm wrong, but kind of, you know, we call them maybe code keepers, time keepers, wisdom keepers, might even say integrity keepers. I bring this up because I resonate, we've talked about this very much, with the Pleiadian teachings or wisdom sharing. There's the four Pleiadian books, as I was telling you. I know you are more Arcturian stuff. But, and even if you don't resonate with the Pleiadian stuff, and I've even run across people who are like, oh, that's too New Agey. I'd be like, these books would do your body some good, your body and soul some good. Meaning, one of the things they talked about, I think it was in the first book, The Bringers of the Dawn, which is like the gateway book, talked about how important it is for humanity to connect with the First Nations people, because they hold these keys. They are the ones kind of laying low, been there, not, you know, too sucked into the societal pressures and ways, and they're the ones holding it, who are deeply connected to the land, whether it's drumming or dancing or chanting or storytelling, or, you know, they talked about specifically in the book about sweat lodges. And I remember after reading that, I put the intention out there, and a few months later in 2020, I found myself in Mexico doing a sweat lodge. And as you know, I'm now going back to Ohio. I'm not even being nudged. I'm being like, it's like a luge bringing me back to Ohio, where I'm going to be surrounded. I'm going to be one of the wisdom keepers and, you know, code keepers and timekeepers and integrity keepers, and connecting with people there. And they have sweat lodges there the week that I'm going for the eclipse. And that's the part I'm most excited about, is connecting with the First Nations people, because they're the ones who have our path forward. They're the ones holding the time. They're the ones holding the keys. They're the ones holding, when humanity is ready, they unlock them.
Yeah, very much so. Absolutely. In some ways, we have sacrificed our natural innate abilities in lieu of an industrialized way of living.
Mm-hmm.
And the electromagnetic pollution, the endocrine disrupting chemicals in, you know, our foods and soil, that's dampened our natural spiritual abilities, and there's a call to return to more indigenous ways of living.
Cyclical ways of living.
Yeah, absolutely, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And which is what we're going to get into. How do you know if somebody is hijacked or not? Trustworthy or not, good mm-hmm. or bad, and I don't like to use good or bad. But so can you explain to us the grow up and the show up?
Yeah, absolutely. So growing up is a very, very interesting phase. It's a line of human development that requires interaction with life's elements, if you will. It requires interaction with nature. It requires interaction with society. It requires interaction with different systems of life. Growing up is consciousness evolving, which is a very unique theme. Perhaps the best example of this would be slavery. You can have someone that has cleaned up and woken up and still has a slave in their home. So growing up is a stage in human development where the ego itself, the humanness, starts reflecting more and more of that deeper consciousness principles in action. It's not quite, you can call it embodiment integration, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
That's more of a kind of show up, but they're closely related. Growing up is more about how us as beings are able to reflect the truth that we experienced through waking up and through the cleanup, how it's putting that to the test in life. It's bringing that forward in 3D reality.
Okay.
You know?
So it's not necessarily embodiment or integration. It's
related to embodiment and integration because it does require a certain degree of embodiment and integration in order to be able to be expressed. So perhaps you can say it does involve some embodiment and integration, but what growing up really is an expression of that consciousness in reality, physical reality. So I'll give you an example. Let's say, for example, I'm a guru. And I have woken up to the reality that I am more than just a human. I'm also a divine being. And in that process, I've also done sufficient cleanup work to attend to my childhood development trauma patterns, right? Now, let's say I have never been a waiter at a restaurant, right? So I have lived in a monastery all my life, and I've had everybody who has always served me. Just because I've woken up and I realize I'm divinity, and because I've cleaned up, so I've attended to the patterns, my mm-hmm. limiting beliefs, now life needs to put me to the test. So let's say I end up being a waiter in a restaurant. Now I have to apply my divinity, all the work that I have done, I have to apply it to this particular setting. And only after I apply my waking up and cleaning up to this setting as a waiter, I am learning, oh, as a waiter, I need to be of service. I need mm-hmm. to. So growing up, for lack of better words, it's applied consciousness to practical reality and practicing applied consciousness to different scenarios in reality leads to an evolution of consciousness. It's consciousness itself learning mm-hmm. how to apply higher principles in life. Mm-hmm. And that can only happen through interrelating with different systems in our 3D world, whether it's the system of like a career, or a system of like
lost luggage, yes.
It's consciousness yes. now realizing I am divine, but it needs to now, in a very innocent way, express these truths through this 3D man-made settings that it's kind of experiencing in a very innocent way for the first time. So, okay, lost luggage. How do I apply love? You know, it has to actually practice that.
Correct.
If it doesn't practice that, you can get a very evolved being, meaning evolved as in deeply recognized that they're divine, mm-hmm. deeply clent up, but if they have never served in a 3D human capacity, that beautiful wise, that beautiful consciousness is not technically wise till it's put to the test.
Right.
And I call it applied consciousness, till the consciousness is applied. And unless that being has served in certain roles,
right.
they won't know how to apply these principles. So growing up is needed. That's why you actually have a lot of great, great gurus in the East. When they come to the West for better, when they visit the West for the first time, non-politically speaking, they don't know how to deal, you know, with scenarios such as, you know, getting cut off in traffic,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden they're being, told, you know, that okay, you may need to be a waiter and serve. You may need to work. You know, all
right.
of a sudden they have to grow up into this, because perhaps they've been served. They've had people that have helped them.
You've just been able to hole up into a cave and do your work, and now you have to,
exactly.
like I said, deal with lost luggage
yeah.
or something that gets,
yeah.
so to speak, messed up or whatever.
Yeah.
But if we can
yeah.
all zoom out and be living in it, you can realize that obviously there's
Correct.
A reasoning for all of it.
Yeah.
And as I say, in spiritual truth,
yeah.
none of it exists.
And growing up is pretty hard to explain. But the best way to synthesize it is, it's applied or expressed consciousness to particular scenarios repeatedly over time. And over time, the repetition of expressed clean consciousness leads to an evolution of consciousness. And that is how you have us slowly moving out of slavery, moving out of, you know, let's move out of toxic, like, cigarettes and all that kind of thing. That is a evolution of consciousness. That's what you call growing up. And it's hard to understand, because I think people typically think of source consciousness as knowing all, and that's a paradox. It's both. It's source consciousness is already everything, and it is also evolving simultaneously. The evolving part of source consciousness through our bodies and life cycles, consciousness, God, if you will, itself, is learning to become more and more of God. It's learning to become more of what it already is by practicing in different settings its principles of love and light. Mm-hmm. And if it's not put to the test, you can have pure potential divine conscious being, but still somehow not grown up. This is why you still had slaves in old Buddhist monasteries with great masters, because they're still not evolved to realize, you know what, I don't think we need slavery. I don't think we need, to have sports where we slaughter animals. I don't think that's an evolution of consciousness. I guess I'll explain it one last time in this way. when culturally we evolve out of certain things, like I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the Netherlands or I one of these Nordic regions, they slaughter dolphin whales as a sport. Imagine evolving out of that and saying, you know what, I don't think we need to do this as a society anymore. I don't think as a society we need to be dealing with pornography anymore, whatever. Evolving out of these antiquated cultural paradigms is growing up. It's consciousness moving towards higher states. And waking up and cleaning up doesn't automatically do that. It's waking up, cleaning up, now practicing. After you wake up and cleaning up, now move forward in life and like express that through your vehicle. And over time, expressing that will lead to a growing up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you explained it beautifully. Those are great examples. I like looking at it kind of more in a bigger picture, and then okay, we're getting out of that. One day we will. I mean, it's funny because you and I kind of have a connection to like tonics and elixirs. You kind of always show up with one, and there's something there for you and I. But it's funny because you see now, I've now seen commercials on TV, and I watch like no TV. I watch like one show a week for I don't know if it's like Olipop or something, and it's replacing soda. It's replacing, you know, like Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Sprite, you know, Mountain Dew, all that stuff. You see that now. Still, that's still there, of course, at gas station, you know, and very basic, simple restaurants. But you see now these other pops. They're fizzy, they're in a can, but they're all made from, you know, very plants that we would consider very medicinal or immune modulating or immune boosting or regular or, you know, decrease inflammation, that kind of stuff. So it's funny because moving away from the cigarettes, I would say we're moving away from pop, from soda. Right? We still get the fizz and the bubble, but we're moving away from the very highly sugary, you know, chemical crap
Exactly.
that, you know, we know Coca-Cola, what can it do? It can eat away the whatever, clean off rust,
Exactly. That's
you
a
know.
perfect
Yeah.
example.
So we
So,
see that, but it's a slow build, it's a slow
exactly.
burn.
So long story short, I could summarize it in one line. The evolution of consciousness is growing up. It's once you're
Yeah.
awakened to your divinity, that divinity itself evolving through your vehicle by practicing applying itself in different settings, career, romance, in all the 3D things we do, it wisens up, and that's what's growing up. Otherwise, if it's just in a petri dish, awakened to its truth and cleaned up, but it's not applied through different 3D scenarios, it still hasn't expressed it, right? It's just pure potentiality. Only after it's expressed it does it
Correct.
wisen to how to do it better and better and better. So that's growing up.
Correct. Yes. Great visual. Love that. So now what is showing
And
up?
showing up is exactly the embodiment, the integration of all three. It's okay, I've cleaned up, I have woken up, I have grown up through practicing or expressing my consciousness to these through these different settings. So showing up is now what showing up is more like now this is showing up is more like
Yeah, the culmination.
your vibe, your soul signature, your vibrational frequency, your embodiment, your integration, right? So showing up is almost like it's the culmination of these three phases make up your default vibrational frequency, if you will, that you're emanating in the world. And this is kind of like the showing up, which is why it's kind of the last. It's really the integration of all these three.
And can I interject for a second? I'm saying this because this was kind of when I practiced this, going over this today before you came over. I had kind of in my head gone over talking about embodiment or integration. Why? Because I've just gone through something where, as I've posted a bit about it on Facebook, where I've had four parts to my secret sauce. And that as soon as I embodied those, that it doesn't take time. it takes alignment, but it was the embodiment of those that whoosh, there it all was. There was the manifestations from years ago that I knew how things could flow, you know, love, abundance, prosperity, joy, all of this. And so I'm bringing that up because I remember one of the times that we would run into each other in the park, I made a comment to you about, and I've said this on my podcast before many times, that all the repeating signs, repeating numbers, the songs that get stuck in our head, whatever it is you're seeing, you keep seeing your birthday repeated, your name, whatever it is, you keep dating people named Luke, whatever, that it's either guiding you to do one of three things. And I shared this with you. I've talked about this before, again, like I've said on episodes. It's either guiding you to do, not all three, but either let go of something, move forward with something, or embody something. And I don't know if you remember that day in the park. I remember the sun was setting, so it was a very beautiful golden light. And you said to me, oh, I love how you said embody and embodiment. And I think you said, correct me if I'm wrong, that that was like the most difficult out of those three, out of let go, move forward, and embodiment. So I'm saying this because the four parts to my secret sauce, and I'm planning to do my next podcast on it. It's not some quote-unquote secret. I just call it secret sauce for lack of a better phrase. Meaning, it's not these four embodiments that allowed all this goodness, let's just say, to come my way. There's been about probably 30 or 40 others before this. It's just that those are already so integrated, I don't need to keep, so to speak, keep working on them, versus I was guided to, it was actually last year, we're in April now, we're in eclipse season, it was actually last year during eclipse, I have it written down in my calendar, and I'm just going to pick a date that's not really it, but say it was like April 13th, and it wasn't, but literally, it was that day I got the clear guidance that I needed to embody more gratitude and joy. And literally every day now, on the 13th of every month, that's not the date, I'm just using that as an example, something happens. And why I'm saying that is because it was, I didn't just be like, oh, okay, I've been seeing balloons for many years. Not every day, but every once in a while. Why am I seeing a thing of balloons? It could be on the street, it could be stuck in trees right outside where I live, it could be a picture on Instagram, it could be something on a TV. Like, what, I watch them float by, and I live on the 34th floor. I'm like, what are these balloons? Finally, on that day last year in eclipse season, which eclipse season is making stuff more viewable to us that was really kind of really hidden, I was like, oh, I need to embody more joy and gratitude. So I actively worked on that, meaning I took time every day. People talk about, oh, you want your manifestations. Feel how it feels to own that beach house. How are you going to feel with that beach house? You're going to feel excited, and you're going to smell the salt water and blah, 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 or you want that convertible. That's fine, as I've realized to manifesting, but that ain't it. It's realizing the veils you have blocking you to that. It could be around receiving, worthiness, one of mine was gratitude and joy. So I sat with it on the daily, and I sit there with the gratitude, and I could feel it. I mean, I had very little money in my bank account, and I just would be thankful for any little thing, the sun on my skin, you know, my good friends, a great dessert from, you know, favorite place in Chicago, whatever it was. And I could literally, if I say that to you or anybody listening now, what are, just name two or three things you're grateful for, your pets, you know, these beautiful fuchsia roses sitting here, whatever it is. And you can, if you can sit with that, you will feel a warmth in your chest, in your heart chakra. Now, I'm saying, if you do that for 30 days, I'm telling you, watch shit get real. And I have a book I posted on Instagram about, and in my stories, it's called 365 Days of Gratitude. It's about a man who wrote a thank you note 365 days, and what happened in his life. As soon as he started doing it, within like 2 weeks, he found money in the couch, in the cushions of his couch, and all other stuff that, you know, old tax returns, or, you know, all this stuff, and money here and this and that. And so if I am the universe telling you, one of the parts of your secret sauce is gratitude, one of the parts of your secret sauce is joy, one of the parts of your secret sauce is forgiveness. one of the secrets, one of the parts of your secret sauce is allowing. Now, if you sat with that, if you sat with allowing, or if you sat with one of the things I've moved through, it's not part of my secret sauce now because I've already integrated it, is feeling seen and heard. I had to actively tell myself on the daily, I feel seen and heard. I feel seen and heard. And feel what that would feel like. And then you start, like I said, you watch shit get real. So if now every day on that same date, we are still a year later, stuff happens on that date. It's not really April 13th or the 12th or whatever I said, but stuff still happens. So that's the power. That's what embodiment is. So I wasn't seeing the balloons every day for me to get it, but then I finally got it during eclipse season, and that's what it is. And now if I've moved a little bit out of joy, I see balloons. If I've moved a little bit out of gratitude, I see the gift emoji with the, you know, like a present. If I've moved out of my softness, I see broken glass. I know, ooh, time to soften my energy. That's part of my secret sauce. So I'm saying the embodiment because we've brought up that word a lot. Yeah. I don't think people really understand it. So if you commit to that and do that for 30 days, I'm telling you, watch stuff get real.
Yeah, embodiment is the hardest. It's the trickiest. It's the art of fully human, fully divine. It's the art of holding multiple spaces simultaneously. The recognition of divinity, the recognition of humanity, the recognition of consciousness evolving and applying all of these things simultaneously in every moment.
And when you do it, like I say, it's kind of like learning tennis or refining your tennis game or your golf swing. I like to use the example of dancing, not only because I've you know, danced, but meaning you do that turn or that move enough. You do it enough until we all know what that's like, whether it's golf or tennis or dancing, swimming, where you don't have to think about it anymore. That partner does this and you automatically know you do that. Or you see the golf ball and you automatically know you need to do this with your shoulder or this with your wrist. You sit with it enough until you don't think about it anymore. That's why I get very quiet, very quiet. And everybody in my life energetically knows I don't hear from them. I don't receive texts from them. They don't invite me to stuff because I'm a little bit in hermit mode of I'm working on embodying something. So I'm like a soft shell crab where I'm soft. The shell has not formed yet because I'm working to embody it. And about that, it actually isn't a month. It's a little bit shy of that. It's about 3 weeks. I start seeing stuff happen. And then about the 2 month mark, oh yeah, then kind of like, all of a sudden, people start texting me again, da 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 da, and my social life blossoms again. So I'm saying the embodiment because I see people. I know I've been one of those up until the last year where I do it, but I don't really stick with it enough. Okay, joy, sure. I sat with that joy every day. I sat with that joy every day. I have a list now of the things that bring me joy. If you ask me what brings me joy, I could easily rattle off that list. So I sat with that. That is part of the secret sauce. It's not imagining what the convertible that you want would feel like or that summer home, whatever it is. It's the embodiment of whatever you are missing is not the right word, but haven't embodied because that's your natural state. And then that's where it all comes to you. And where it comes to you is alignment. Alignment. As I've said in all my posts and website and podcast things are alignment. Our natural state is love, joy, health, and abundance. Anything outside of that shows that we're out of alignment. Alignment is where everything you want is downstream. What you want is literally already obsessed with you. That's why, again, the hummingbird. It is joy. The hummingbird's medicine is joy, but it's the only bird that cannot walk. Meaning, why walk when you can fly? If humanity could re-remember how easy it is, they would throw their head back and laugh. That's the hummingbird. That's the hummingbird. So the embodiment is key. The embodiment is crucial. The embodiment is the secret sauce. It really, really is. And but you gotta sit with it. Gotta make an active choice. Like I said, I actively was like, I'm gonna do this. And I sat with it for 30 days and holy hell, stuff started moving out of my life, ending. I was like, here we go. These are the changes that I've wanted. And this is the stuff. It's still precarious because you're watching stuff move around really fast, but that's what it was. That's what brought it on.
Yeah, and it's a process that's never ending also.
Correct.
Because each time you are learning and growing, then you're integrating and then expressing that.
Integrating, uh-huh, yeah. Until you know that dance move enough and it's just
exactly.
It's just there. So to now we've talked about those, the cleanup, wake up, grow up, and show up is the embodiment, the integration. How do you know, and I asked you this when we were talking about this, how do you know if somebody is, so to speak, hijacked or not, trustworthy or not, good or bad? I don't like to say good or bad. I like to say more or less aligned, but for lack of better terms, good or bad.
Yeah, I love this question for a million different reasons, you know. It's vibrational frequency. Our ability to experience a being for the vibrational truth that they emanate, and that takes an ability to see beyond their personality construct.
Okay, I'm going to hold you right there. So to keep going with that, so what are the, I asked you, how do we know if somebody has been, is trustworthy or not, or is, has done all those four things, or at least has reached that embodiment integration stage, and you said, yeah, there's three telltale signs. Immediately you said that to me, and those are?
Those are base vibrational frequency, mm-hmm. And number two, their aura, the type of aura that they're emanating. They're kind of your vibrational frequency in some ways contribute to that aura as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one would be their authenticity, right? But authenticity, what's underpinning authenticity is that vibrational frequency and that aura, and that's basically fancy words for saying sensing the truth of one's being, sensing the truth of one's being. And this type of sensing, it needs to be done with spirit. It's not, when you look at a human being, the way we experience human being as a flesh body that's speaking words. But if we have the capacity to feel into a human being, we would be able to experience them as sound, light, energy, consciousness. And in those deeper layers that are a truer reflection of who they are, those can't be faked, if you know, for lack of better words.
So that is the first one, even though you listed three, that's the first one.
In other words, you can, a human can use their own flesh body and their own senses, like the words that they say and everything, as a type of whale, to show you, to express one truth while internally harboring a different one, aka deception. But if you can sense a being beyond the veil of just their flesh body, uh-huh, and experience their energetic body,
mm-hmm,
there you will sense their vibrational frequency as this type of light, sound, energy, color kind of thing, which taps into the aura and all of that. In there, that cannot be masked. That truth is, and therein is how you know whether someone is speaking from their truth or masking it.
Or has been hijacked or whatever. Exactly. And I want you to mention the other two, and we'll go back to that one. But quickly, I want to say with that I have in my notes when you first relayed it and shared it with me was aura, baseline vibration from their operating from their heart space, meaning that they are welcome, they are inclusive, and your nervous system will relax.
Exactly. Yeah, well said. I forgot about
and
that. Yes.
We're going to go back to, after you name these other two, of how you, three things, how we know that somebody is faux or not.
Right.
We're going to go back to how you and I met, because I want to bring that up, because there's a good nugget in there for people. So the second one of the three telltale signs, whether somebody is, you know, faux or not, is?
The second one is how you feel in their presence. That goes to that nervous system. I think you have that as number three on the list, right?
I have fear tactics. I have the aura, baseline vibration. Then I have that a genuine, authentic spiritual leader will point you internally, will
Correct.
Point you back to yourself. Not, and then the third one I have is that it will be laced with fear tactics.
Yeah.
Are the three telltale signs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's all of these are connected. Like the first one, which we explained, is that baseline frequency and feeling into their being to kind of sense the truth of what they're sharing versus just experiencing them at that physiological flesh personality layer, which can be a whale. The second one is how you feel in their presence, and your nervous system will automatically, you know, you either clench or you'll feel a space of, you'll feel safe and free. The third one will be their pointers themselves, right? So I think any genuine spiritual teacher or someone that's operating from the heart and is genuine will always empower you. They will point you inwards. Their role is to help you recognize your own divinity. But someone who is being deceptive will always try to create a codependent relationship so that they can siphon your energy and essentially manipulate you into giving up your best gifts and talents and strengths to them. You know, so
and money.
Not
that you know. Maybe I shouldn't have said that in a way that, you know, as spiritual people, a lot of times. I mean, we're all spiritual, but meaning, oh, we don't charge enough for whatever it is, a tarot reading or this or a Reiki session.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one in the spiritual community that we don't charge enough. But money, in the sense that they are charging you such large amounts. For, I don't know, how would you describe it? You know, the docuseries I'm referring to that kind of started this conversation, where they're charging you such obscene amounts, and again, it's having you look outside of yourself.
Right.
It's not, I remember a tarot reader, clairvoyant that I worked with a couple months ago, that a girlfriend had at a birthday party, and somebody asked him, I don't know, like, not like, why do you do what you do, or what's your goal, or something like that, and he said that people stop coming to me, meaning that they know and hear their guidance enough that they, and I was like, yep, he be truth, you know, he be real. So not that they don't charge you for their services, it's an energy exchange, but that when they're not like gouging your eyes out for things that are requiring you to do things that don't feel authentic, that don't feel that self-empowerment, that are pointing you outward. Okay, continue, sorry.
And then of course the fear tactics, you know, which is a lot of spiritual teachers, especially sadly ones that have certain gifts, like clairvoyance, clairaudience, they it's like a bad soap opera where you're always led to watch this next episode because you want to know what's going on, and they keep looping you, right? And sometimes some of the best teachers will always lead you to believe that it's this codependent thing. You need them for darshan or satsang, or you need them because they have some truths about your timelines that for X amount of money or X amount of time, they'll disclose that, and it never ends. So you can condense or synthesize all of this down to empowerment, really. A true teacher will always empower you and say, look, you know, how is it that you feel, and what is it that you think, and what is your truth? And then they will either supplement that with what they're seeing. But a teacher that's interested in exploiting you will always encourage you to depend on them, either financially or through, you know, other ways, you know, sexual ways or other types of exchanges, in order for to get information that you can source from yourself, such as what your future looks like, and you know, if you want to clear your karmic patterns and everything, that you need their transmission and this kind of stuff. So, you know, we just have to be very wary that there is a lot of exploitive nature in the spiritual community, and there are teachers that prey on vulnerable people. That's true. And the power lies with us, you know. So,
well, and part of it is something I said to you when we first talked about this, just as friends, that, you know, part of it, what makes it so tricky, so to speak, is that they are speaking and sharing truth. It's not that everything coming out of their mouth is garbage.
Right.
That they are, there are threads of truth in there. It's that they haven't done, as you so eloquently answered for me, that many months ago, many moons ago, clean up, wake up, grow up, and show up. And so that's why then some of them are so obvious and are like, wait, what? You're promoting this, or you're okay with this? I'm like, no, this is a hard no. And I'm also going to go back again to the Pleiadian books and teachings, because they said it in one of their books. I don't think it was the first one, Bringer to the Dawn. It might have been the last one, which is Path to Empowerment. I feel I'm on to something with that. They said that, and I think you and I have talked about this, we'll ask my friends, what do you think is the largest veil for humanity? And it's interesting what my different friends will say. And because in the book, it's out of all four books, it's the only thing I didn't resonate with. However, in the last couple months, 6, 7, 8 months, I now agree with it. They talked about where is the largest portal across this realm, simulation, globe, whatever. They talked about that churches are not churches, that they are energy points, you know, that's not a cross, it's an X, it's where masculine and feminine energies meet, all a bunch of stuff. I resonated with all of it, except the one of what is the largest or the biggest veil for humanity. Again, they didn't say veil, I'm saying veil. And they said it's that humanity doesn't want, they don't want to trust themselves. They don't, like, trust their own power. And when I read that, I was like, really? I don't feel like that. Heck no. I was like, not at all. Like, no, don't tell me what to do. I like going my own way. I like doing things by myself. But then over time, I was like, oh, wait a second. Oh, hold up. I see it now. I see it. It's not just afraid to make decisions. It's deeper than that. It's that they don't want to embody their power. And I see it now. I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it. So when you were talking about that, about this self-empowerment, not that getting readings or things like that or whatever isn't empowering. For me, it's very empowering. It's just that you keep constantly looking to that. So then I want to go back to, we might end it here. Do you remember how you and I met?
Yes, I do. I do. Yeah.
Do you remember? What
I
part do you remember?
It was at the old Whole Foods. You were staring at some birds, and somehow I was just kind of enamored that you stopped. You were staring at the soil. You were staring at the tree, the soil, the birds, and I never saw that, but I was very impressed by that because, you know, practically speaking, you took time out to look at nature and to see, to greet it and to honor it. And
but do you remember what you came up to me and said?
I don't, actually.
That's the part I was getting
at.
Tell
me.
Do you remember?
I don't.
No?
Do you?
Okay. Oh, I do.
Okay.
Oh, I do.
What was I saying? I forgot. Yeah.
No. So this is why I wanted to share this with people. This is not some self-indulgent stupid, not stupid, I don't like that word. I would say not some self-indulgent, no rhyme or reason behind sharing this. There is in the fact that, yes, okay, so you notice that I stopped to notice this bird mm-hmm. and the tree and the soil and all that stuff. But then you came up to me and you didn't mention the bird mm-hmm. or the tree or that I stopped or the nature. You said to me how much you liked my coat.
Ah.
Do you remember? I don't know if you remember. If I showed it to you, if I pulled it out of my closet, you would remember that. Why I'm bringing that up right now, why I'm sharing this on a public platform, such as my podcast, is because, and something you and I have talked mm-hmm. about, that, you know, you're like, you know, Noelle, you fascinate me because you embody the style part, but uh-huh. then deeply spiritual. You know, there's depth there. It's yeah. not just, oh, you're in it for the fashion and the glamour and the jewelry and the bijou and the glitz and the heels. You're like, you have the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to take that compliment received. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And so meaning also some of the other key people in my life who you know about, they've approached me because of my fashion, because mm-hmm. of what I'm wearing. So I'm sharing that because I think people, again, get conflicted of like, okay, well, now I have this awakening. And mine was unique in the sense that I was doing styling. And while that all stopped, because my awakening dealt with career, it was not health related. Most people, there starts with a health scare, bumping up some big health issue. Mine was unique because I was still supposed to do style. Mm-hmm. I just needed to do lifting the veil, which was a departure, yes, but also not really a departure because it's all about beauty and joy and getting back to our true selves. And so I bring that up because it's my fashion. You know, when people come up to me, oh, I love your earrings. Oh, I love your bright colored lipstick. Oh, I love your coat. They don't, but they notice that I looked at the bird, but they say something to me because of my earrings or because of XYZ. So I'm sharing that because you're allowed to be, as I shared a picture on Instagram of my Christmas tree, which is a fuchsia Christmas tree, I have a peahen on top, you know, a white peacock, which is a very spiritual, it's to be okay to shake your spiritual tail feathers, but then I have Karl Lagerfeld ornament on top of my fuchsia Christmas tree, and Anna Wintour, and a yoga mat. You're allowed to be into health and eat sugar. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to be spiritual and wear high heels. You're allowed to, I don't know, bake desserts and be into, you know, like I said, be into wellness, whatever it is. I can't think of, I'm having a hard, but you know what I'm saying. Meaning it's okay mm-hmm. to be, we're still human. We still have this human vessel, we're still stars wrapped in a meat mm-hmm. suit. And doesn't mean I give it all up and just go wear organic linen from head to toe. I'm getting there with, you know, some of the things I'm going to be working on, but I'm not going to give up my fuchsia lipstick. It's non-toxic, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to give that up. My red lipstick and my big oversized earrings and all my other bijou. No.
Yeah.
So you're allowed to, I don't, you know, you're allowed mm-hmm. to drive a race car mm-hmm. and be spiritual.
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, you should be able to, as I say, yeah. because you should have the money to that because your natural state is abundance.
Right.
It's not living in a box yeah. on the side of the street because you cleaned up, woke up, grew right. up, and showed up.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you so much for blending your cleanup. Mm-hmm. I have to get the order right. Wake up, grow up, and show up to us today, to me, to putting it out there. I'm deeply honored, deeply grateful. I don't want to say I wish that everybody could be a fly on a wall in our conversations, but here is a little glimpse because they are so, so deep, so profound, so sacred, so eye-opening. And I just thank you for sharing with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Noelle. Always a pleasure. Appreciate it. And yeah, looking forward to our future and our lives ahead.
Up.
Yeah,
our grow
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right.
right. You know what I'm going to say? Thank you for listening. If this resonated with you, or you find that somebody in your universe would really appreciate this and find it helpful, please share it with them. To get in touch with me, remember that my website is lifting-the-veil.com. As we know, if it doesn't have the dashes in between the words, it kind of looks like lifting the evil, which is a little bit of what it is. Do let me know your questions or podcast topics. I will say that my podcast is changing form. I can't say exactly what, how, and when, but I would like to keep podcasting. The plan is still to do that, but again, a lot of things are shifting in a good way, but that has happened because I have embodied the last, not the last, but let's put it this way, a very key pivotal quote unquote missing pieces, and so that has really caused some big changes to now finally start unfolding in my life, hence the change of the podcast and some other technical things that are happening with how I put my podcast out there. So, but do let me know, like I said, any topics I can shed light on, any questions you might have. And as always, thank you for listening. Please do give it as many thumbs up or stars as you can. That always helps. Share away, and thank you again.